time now for Breaking Bones with Dr. George Barry and Joe C. An informative but laid-back approach to sports medicine on 1010XL.
Yeah.
Now, let's break some bones.
Welcome into Breaking Bones, a beautiful Sunday morning. You know how we say we are treated to some of the great weather, as long as we can get through that tough winter. And I think we did. Breaking Bones for the next 30 minutes right here on 1010XL. Joe C. from XL Primetime, afternoons, 2 to 4, right here on the Superstation, and Dr. George Barry. Gio, how are you, man?
Good, man.
You survived the tough winter, too, just like me.
Very tough.
Yeah. Isn't it funny, though? We are so soft. And I was talking to a buddy. He said, you know, I was going back and forth. He was in the, I'm just going to say life insurance business, but some type of insurance business, right? And he's going up to some of these insurance capitals every week. He's flying up there. He's staying for a couple days, whatever. And he said he started getting used to the colder weather. You know, you build up that thermal layer. And he said he did it for whatever, 5 years or so. And he would just get used to it. And he would go into 15-degree weather, walk out with just a whatever, light shirt, no big deal, come back. And now it's 50 degrees and he's wearing long johns. Isn't it funny how the people up north, they create that thermal air, but we are soft. I don't deny it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it gets like 60 degrees and we're all chilly.
Like, have you ever grown up in any hard winter?
No, I've
been here. Yeah. And I like when, as a young kid, Kansas and Alabama as a young kid. And so we would have, quote, harsher winters. In Kansas, I can remember snow and all that kind of stuff.
It gets cold in Kansas.
Yeah, it gets like, and it's just that, ooh, just hurt your bones, cold.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know how anybody lives through.
You know, when I was in med school.
Winters.
When I was in med school, we'd do these rotations where you would like basically audition to get whatever specialty you wanted. So if you're doing orthopedics, you do orthopedic rotations at numerous hospitals as your audition. So I remember I did one in Chicago for a month, one in New Jersey for a month. And of course, it's, you know, like November or December.
Yeah.
And I would always say that stepping outside at, you know, because we'd have to be at the hospital at 5 a.m.
Sure.
So you have to be outside and leave your house by like 4:30.
Yeah.
With that, you're exhausted, you're tired, it's 4:30 in the morning, the air is hitting you. It's like the biggest slap in the face from Mother Nature when you are up at 4:30 walking outside and then that 30-degree air just hits you in the face. Like, oh, this is terrible.
I don't know how they do it, honestly. I don't know how Rocky did it back in the day in Philadelphia when he got up and he guzzled 5 raw eggs and got out on the streets of Philadelphia and started running. I don't know how they do it. Now, I say all that to say this. Today's high is 92 degrees. Okay, so you pick your poison.
Yeah.
Whether you love that cold or whether you love this heat. But I have just been begging for some sunshine. So I'm not going to complain, but I got the feeling or get the feeling that April, May, June, July, August, next 5 months are going to be hot as Hades.
Yeah.
Probably. All right. If you have sports injuries, you can ask a question to us by hitting the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010. Whatever you got, aches and pains, we are talking to the man who will give you free medical advice today. He is fellowship trained under the renowned Dr. James Andrews, an orthopedic surgeon right here in the city of Jacksonville at Barry Orthopedics. Now, I at least want to start off with one because it kind of cracked me up just a little bit, not knowing the full extent of Zion Williamson, but he's in the playing game the other night against the Los Angeles Lakers. And Zion, we know, Gio, he has had a history of great play and injury. They kind of go hand in hand. This cat has never been 100% healthy. This has probably been the healthiest he's been.
He's like your boy in L.A. What's his name again?
Yeah, Anthony Davis, unibrow. but you're right. Both of these guys, they always seem to come up with something. But Zion, I'm telling you, the mystery injury for the longest time that spanned, what, from 22 into 23. So here we are, pretty productive season in 2024, in a big game against the L.A. Lakers. And he goes out of the game late with leg soreness, and they basically said it was a hamstring. And so I'm not even going to worry about whether or not the Pelicans played on or anything like that. I had to laugh when Shaq criticized Zion Williamson for not staying in the game. He couldn't believe it, and he basically said, rub some Icy Hot on that thing, Chico.
Now he gets paid to say that.
He does. He's been with Icy Hot for, I don't even know.
A long time.
Yeah, 2 decades probably. And so, rub some Icy Hot on that thing, Chico. And I don't know whether, see, my nickname as a kid was Chico. I don't know whether Zion. Yeah, I don't know whether Zion's is Chico or not, but anyway, it cracked me up. And Shaq, of all people, because Shaq, even though he did play all the time, he wasn't a physical specimen, let's say, in terms of being in shape.
No.
So you could, and
Shaq and Zion, Zion, he's been destroyed a bunch in the media for not being in shape.
Right.
Charles Barkley used to got on him a lot, and people used to make fun of Charles Barkley. They're like, how can you say that? Zion is not a very in shape person for being in the NBA.
Exactly, and he can jump. Looks like he can jump through the gym. He is this uber talented athlete. But yeah, he has fought either keeping LBs off of him or staying in shape, having the flexibility, all that stuff. Chuck, speaking of Charles Barkley, he said, "I'm not sure I would have come out of that game."
Yeah, I want to ask you a question about your boy Anthony Davis.
Yeah,
he got the brow.
Yeah.
What is it called when you
the unibrow?
When you make a term your own. What do they call it again? Trademarked.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He got that trademark when he graduated from college. The brow or unibrow, whatever it is.
Yep.
But I haven't seen him do anything with it.
No. You know, it's a good question.
I thought he was gonna have like shirts and a line or something, and nothing.
Yeah, because like Tiger Woods has basically not completely stepped away from Nike, but he's creating his own line and all the stuff
through
that he
Nike.
Wore. All the stuff, yeah, he's still involved with Nike, but he has stepped away. He originally created I think it was a T-Dub line, you know, the Tiger Woods logo you can picture on the back of some shirts that they had with Nike. Now, he exclusively wore the Tiger logo, which is nothing but like a tiger paw drawing in the shape of a tiger. It's really cool looking. But
is it kind of like the Jordan deal where Jordan's
exactly.
with Nike?
That's what I'm thinking. And so he stepped away and now has his own cool logo. So you're right. You wonder what people are going to do with some of these
trademarks
or designs.
How many specialty things can you have? Like golf, there's Tiger, there's Greg Norman has his thing and then doesn't. In basketball, there's like every time someone becomes famous, they have their own thing. But how much can the market handle? I don't know.
I tell you what, everyone wants the latest and greatest, don't they?
That's true.
And they will.
We should make one, Joe.
Dude, they have gone, like, as an example, I've got my Yeti right here. Stanley took over Yeti thanks to TikTok.
Oh, was it TikTok?
Yeah, TikTok has been given a ton of credit for boosting the sales in the billions.
I can't believe you still. I mean, I was kind of disgusted when I saw you in the Yeti cup, but not a Stanley cup. I'll be honest.
Well, it's so funny because I'm thinking, why is Yeti taking a hit like this?
Their sales gone down?
They've probably dipped a little bit, but it's just the fact that Stanley flew past them. And the Stanley cup isn't any better.
It's all the same, bro.
It is. All right. I wanted to show you this Tiger Woods logo real quick before we get off of this. But it's like a skeletal tiger. And so I call it Tiger
I do not
balls.
Like that at all. That reminds me of the Tiger Bomb.
Mm-hmm.
The yellow Tiger Bomb that you buy at the store.
Yeah.
I wonder, I don't like that at all.
And so I guess he's wanting to try and create his own. He had the original, like it looked like the like if you got hit by the claw of a tiger, it had the claws on it and then the T-Dub logo.
I don't like it.
But
not one bit.
Yeah. Now, what did you think about Tiger real quick before we get on
terrible.
To anything else? He shot a terrible.
But we talked about this. We said that
week
I think the days of Tiger being any good are over.
Well, the point I want to make, though, is I'm talking to one of our golf guys earlier this week, Mark Carnevale, and he did point out, and I think other in the golf industry have pointed out, this is the first 72 holes of golf, Gio, that he has played in 2 years. Think about that. So we shouldn't expect too much. It was a much, much more difficult golf course. Anyway, he gets hammered over the weekend. He makes the cut, sets a record, 24 consecutive cuts made. He has played at Augusta over a 29-year period. He has given us some of the greatest golf memories. And the bottom line is he actually made the cut, and I want to say he was he was probably 5 over when he made the cut. I have to go back and look. Bottom line is 15 over at the end of the week. Now, can you take some positives out of the fact that he played 72 holes first in 2 years' time?
I mean, you can, right? That's great. But, he didn't do very well.
He didn't do Tiger-like things.
Right.
Okay, so let me just ask you this real quick. This is the last thing that he had done. He had a fusion of the subtalar joint to address the post-traumatic arthritis from the talus fracture.
When did he have that?
Now that, I would say, is going back to when he left Augusta last year. Okay. So that was sometime in April. So let's just say it was a week
yeah.
after Augusta. Subtalar joint, just below the ankle joint, and he basically had that done.
Yeah, a year ago.
And you saw him move with a little more ease, but there's still no getting away from the fact that he ain't the same.
Yeah, so a subtalar fusion is when you fuse the subtalar joint,
mm-hmm.
okay? And that's basically like almost like talar calcaneal. And basically that joint, the subtalar joint, is the joint that makes your ankle go left and right
mm-hmm.
instead of up and down, right? Up and down is your tibiotalar joint. Subtalar right. joint is your left and right motion. So when you fuse it, you basically go in there, you burr down both ends, and you trick the body into thinking that it's broken, and those two ends, and you put some bone graft, and those two ends heal together, and now it's one big bone as opposed to two separate bones.
Okay.
So how do you stop pain in a post-traumatic joint? Well, you stop that from being a joint, and you stop it from moving, right? So you fuse it, and now the pain is gone because there's no more motion.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to limit your left to right motion. You're not going to, in theory, you shouldn't have any left to right motion. You may have some because there's other articulations that do it, but you have very minimal left, inversion, eversion, or in and out, we call it, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
So that's what he had. And I'm sure that's a reason why he's not going to do so well, because in golf, you have your ankle is doing a lot of twisting.
Well, I want you to, and I know you're not a golfer. One of these days, I will get you out there and show you how you can have fun being really bad at something. I'm going to prove that to you at some point. But the idea that he goes out there and doesn't look like you said, he's not Tiger-like. But if you can picture Scottie Scheffler now wearing two green jackets, when he finishes his swing, Gio, he is almost rolling his left ankle. That's how much momentum from the backswing.
So like when you twist your ankle, you roll
to the follow
like
through.
That, yeah.
His momentum through the follow through, and he's finishing with his hands high, and he is basically rolling his left ankle to the
Tiger
outside.
Loses that motion.
Yeah.
He can't do that motion.
Not at all, huh?
No. So that's going to be a problem, right? You're going to have to change how you swing because you lose that. You're unable to roll your ankle because that joint is kind of gone.
Right.
Right. It doesn't do that anymore.
So the quote is from Tiger, it's other parts of my body that now have to take the brunt of it, specifically his knee and his back. The training that we have to do at home, it changes from day to day. Some days I just feel really good. Other days, not so much. I ache every day, and I prefer it warm and humid and hot. And so there's no question that even the cold weather
yeah.
has an effect on him.
Yeah. Was it his left or right ankle? Do you remember?
It is his left. Hang on. I want to make sure. I think it's his right. It's his right.
So his back one.
So he is still trying to push off of that one.
Right.
And even though we're using that description of Scotty with rolling his ankle, both ankles are surging forward with Scotty
sure, right.
or any of these guys finishing yeah. their golf swing.
Yeah. I mean, I think in golf, if I'm not mistaken, your front ankle is your front ankle more important? Rolls
yeah,
more?
I would say so because yeah. you're finishing on that side.
Yeah. But still, you need to have that motion.
Yeah. Because if you go back in time, Gio, what he would do when he had all these other procedures done on his body, I'm trying to think, and you do such a great job of describing things where people can visualize it, but it's twisting and then letting go. You can come up with anything, a rubber band or whatever, twisting and then let it go, and it recoils.
Mm-hmm.
And so he takes his body and he goes with his backswing, and then he creates so much force all on the left side of his body, which creates that spinal turn. It creates all the pressure on the left leg, all those things. He would do that since he was however old,
yeah.
3, 4, 5 years old, and then that's what took the major toll on his body.
Yeah,
because it was such a violent swing.
Right. I mean, in golf, and not at your level, but at the professional level, the swing is it's...
Touché.
Yeah. You have a lot of stretching, and you stretch to the limit, and you have a lot of power that goes through it, and then you have to slow it down enough. And so it's a lot of motion, a lot of twisting in the spine. Spine, knees, hips, and ankle, right, is where you get a lot of your problems. But that's why people who get knee replacements, I think the studies show that on average, you lose about 4 or 5, on your handicap.
Right.
When you get a knee replacement, mm-hmm. because your rotation changes
a little
bit.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Hip replacements actually do almost the same as before, but knee replacements, you do lose how good you are. You're on your score. I don't know how they call it in golf, but
right.
your handicap or whatever.
Yeah, it's the handicap. And listen, I you may hear me describe as a scratch player. which you might think that's bad.
Sounds terrible.
But scratch is when you just basically play to par, that you're that good, you don't need a handicap.
So it's like a zero?
Yeah, you just scratch the handicap out of there. You call it a scratch golfer. You might hear me described as that, but it's a bold-faced lie. It is a big lie. All right, I'm going to see if you can see. Let's just stay on this golf world real quick, because this is one that I meant to ask you about, and it's Akshay Bhatia. And if you see this cat, he is a skinny, talented left-hander out of California. And he goes into a playoff, and again, this is the week before Augusta, and he ends up almost like in danger of not being able to finish the sudden death playoff. He's against Denny McCarthy. McCarthy sees him get injured. McCarthy's thinking, I got this thing in the bag. He had a 99-yard shot on a par five, hits it into the creek in front. He choked. He absolutely choked because he thought this guy was hurt, and I got my – anyway, I wanted you to see the motion, and I'm going to see if we can find it here. Anyway, he is high-fiving after making a putt, and his shoulder dislocates. What just do you think about
high-fiving?
That? Yeah, just high-fiving and basically doing this. The gesture, the motion that let me see if I can find this bad
That's
boy.
Crazy.
Just so you can see the replay.
That's actually not normal to dislocate when you high five.
Yeah.
And unless.
So what are you thinking? Like, in other words, he gestured to his physio. They had the physio come out, take a look at it. He walked him off into a little corner area, and they supposedly put some tape on him or something.
Yeah, like some KT tape or something.
Yeah, and you can see the tape, and it's a little compression tape. And then my other dude, this is the dude that hits it into the water when he thinks he's got a chance to win the golf tournament. He looked more like me.
I mean, look, here's the problem is if you dislocate when you high-five somebody.
Right.
You probably had some shoulder instability before.
Okay.
Okay. And I wonder if it was his first time ever dislocating, or maybe it was his first time dislocating, but it's possible he always felt like his shoulder wasn't tight. So a lot of patients will come in and they have shoulders who they sublux or kind of goes in and out. It doesn't fully dislocate.
Right.
And they always say, my shoulder just doesn't feel stable. It doesn't feel tight. It feels like it's going to pop out. It never has popped out, but it feels like it's going to if I do a certain position, and if I don't stop it, I feel like it's going to pop out. You get that, we call apprehension. You're apprehensive in your movement because you feel like, oh, if I do that, my shoulder feels unstable. I wonder if he had that before, and I'm sure we're not going to hear about that.
No.
For you to dislocate. And here's the thing. For you to dislocate and then pop it back in yourself, probably not the first time it's popped out, the joint is very loose, and this is just the first time it's popped out, but that joint is very unstable to begin with. You have some maybe multidirectional instability or other problems with it.
And it's the left shoulder, and do you ask yourself, for a slight guy who's not a heavy cat at all,
no,
that the power that he generates, could that also put that shoulder in a little bit of danger?
I mean, you know, and when your supporting structures aren't as big, I'm sure it doesn't help.
Right.
We see football players dislocate their shoulder, but they're getting hit. Right.
Sure.
They're having physical contact causing it to dislocate, not high-fiving somebody.
Yeah, I tell you what, that was wild. It just cracked me up. And we've seen some guys that have done some funny things. Like you can go back in time, a guy's after a kick, Martin Gramatica, after a kick. He's jumping up and down, celebrating.
He tore his ACL, right?
And he tore his ACL.
Yeah, but that's, you know, so we talk about ACLs are non-contact 70% of the time. So you just jump up and down and it just tears.
It's nuts. It's nuts. All right, if you have a question, 641-1010, let's at least use that as a nice segue to football. And we're closing in on the draft, Gio. Thursday night, the Jaguars are going to pick 17th. Are you going to keep young George and young Michael up to see the Jaguars select at 17?
What time is it? Starts at like 8 p.m.
Starts
right?
at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
They're on the clock for, I think, for 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's like 10. Dude, so here's my other question.
So it's 100.
Why do teams need 10 minutes? You had this whole offseason. You have a million mock drafts coming out, and you've probably ran the draft a million times. You need 10 minutes to figure out who you want, especially in the first round where all the options are still available. It's not like, you know what I mean? You're like,
do you want my two-syllable answer?
I don't get it.
TV.
It's crazy. It's too long.
Because they get to show. And by the way, it was 15 minutes.
I know. I remember.
And they made it 10 minutes, thankfully.
You should get 5 minutes.
So basically, I think they go 10 minutes. I'd have to go and look to make sure, but it's in this neighborhood. 10 minutes for the first round Thursday night. 6 minutes for the second round. Maybe it's 7 minutes for the second round, 6 minutes for the third round, then 5 minutes for...
You should get 5 minutes, in the, especially in the first round where you know what you're doing.
But here's the other thing, bro, is they want phone calls.
Yeah, but you have a, have you seen those pictures? They have like 30 people sitting in the room.
Yeah.
You're telling me you can't have five phone calls going at the same time?
Hey, man, he's offering us a couple of crystal deliveries and the third round.
I want it looking like the classic New York Stock Exchange where people are yelling, buy, sell, because they need to get it done and not like they're sitting there, what should we do between like their bites of pizza, right? Like it needs to be going.
That is true. That's a good point because if you picture the stock market, there is some really
that's how the draft should be.
Serious.
You know
stuff
how exciting
happening.
That would be if you had a video in every room and you hear like, you know, Jerry Jones screaming and yelling, "Do this, do that, we gotta go." That would be more exciting.
I do like that. You know what? You may have come up with something that we will try and employ. All right, let me go to football with the draft, and this is a guy that I don't think the Jacksonville Jaguars are necessarily going to be looking at. But we have talked about a lot of big-time offensive linemen. They're going to be going very early in this draft. And so each week you and I picked a guy that had a fairly significant injury that they have to deal with. And Amarius Mims is another one that we're going to touch on. And Mims, a big, big offensive lineman out of Georgia, played a lot in his first two seasons, basically had to prove that he could move into the starting lineup, finally got in there and played well. It is now earmarked maybe one of the first 30 to 45 guys coming off the board. So how about this number, Gio? 6'7", 340 pounds. We're talking about a big human being.
Yeah.
Well, he had a high ankle sprain, which required the tightrope surgery on his left leg. Returned to action, played in four games before going down with a right ankle injury against the Crimson Tide in the SEC Championship game. So here we are, two ankle injuries, but one on the left leg,
surgery.
Tightrope.
Yeah.
How, like, you and I have talked about, I'm a radio doctor, you're a real doctor. We've talked about the tightrope on a quarterback, like Tua Tagovailoa, and some other guys, like the wide receivers. But what about a 6'7", 340-pound man? No different?
No, I don't think it's any different. I mean, you know, he's a bigger guy. I mean, he's a big dude, but the tightrope is made for that. And it's really made just to hold your leg together till the ligaments scar in. And once they scar in, that's it. You don't need it. Remember, before the tightrope, we did screw. People still do screws, but because you could do either or. But before tightrope was invented, you did screws. And you know what we did with the screws? By the 12-week mark, you took them out.
Okay.
Or they broke. One of the two. And if they broke, you don't take them out. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't break, you take them out. And that was it. So you don't need them past, you know, 8 to 12 weeks. Anyway, so it really does nothing for you after that.
Okay. All right. So you shouldn't worry too much about a guy like that.
No, once it's healed, he's good.
Because I couldn't help but just zero in on the fact that left ankle, right ankle, then a hamstring, didn't necessarily get to work out at the pro day. You know, all the things that you want to see from a big man. Because I'll be honest with you, the big men that are going in this draft, they're hard to find. There are just only so many big men walking the planet that play the sport. But when I see a guy of that size, I worry, man. I worry about how many more pounds he could put on, his commitment to the game to stay in shape. It's hard to get, like, if you're a left tackle and you're 340 pounds and you got a cat quick guy coming off the edge, it's hard to catch up with him sometimes.
Right. You got to, so, I mean, look, you have to beat him with brute strength as opposed to speed, right? You got to make sure that you overpower him before he gets, because if he gets, the moment he gets to your side, he's getting by you.
Right.
So you just got to make sure he doesn't get there.
He is rated as the sixth best tackle in the draft, and they're describing him standout prospect, showcasing a rare blend of size, athleticism, and strength. Has anyone ever described you as that?
No. I thought you were going to say like a rare blend, like a Scottish blend.
I like that. I'm into the Canadian blend. I will give you that. But you've brought me back to just straight good Kentucky bourbon.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know that you're a Scotch guy too.
I don't drink very often.
Right.
But when I do, I'll have a scotch.
Yeah, yeah. And a McCallum, something like that, yeah. Right? Okay.
Because
right.
I don't, it's very rare that I drink. So when I do, I'll put a little money down just because it's like my one in like 5 months drink.
Right. Right. Yeah, I wish I could say that. All right, real quick, let's get to a question off the text line. All right, so this dude, he says, I'm 36, was skateboarding this past Saturday. No impact when my knee popped. I was midair. Pulled my leg back, kicked the board out from under me, and my knee popped. No swelling, no tenderness, but at certain angles, my knee is uncomfortable, and I can't squat down.
Yeah, sounds like a meniscus preliminarily.
Okay.
Squatting is big when you have a meniscus tear because your femur has a rollback method. So when you roll back and you have a posterior meniscus tear, it pushes on it and causes pain. Uh-huh. So very common when people have a posterior meniscus tear, they can't get in and out of a car. They can't squat. Very common. Also very common to get meniscus tears not doing a big physical activity. He was jumping, but it's so funny because the past 3 months I've had about two or three young people who were literally just bent down to pick something up, and they heard this big pop, and they couldn't move their leg anymore, and they had a massive meniscus tear just from squatting, right? So bending the knee.
I'll be dang, really?
They weren't lifting anything. They just squat down. I think one guy like dropped his pen or something. It was like some, you know, anomaly.
Right.
But two of them the past couple months, and so to me that sounds like it could be a meniscal, you know, thing, but. I know we're running out of time, and this is a medical show, so I wanted to bring something up because I know that you freak out over medical stuff. But, you know, we always worry about these new viruses and bugs passing on from, like, a bird to a human, right? That's, like, the next...
Or, I don't know, maybe a bat in Wuhan. Go ahead.
So cicadas, which I think we're supposed to have, like, a bunch of them coming or something. I don't know. Yeah. But they have now this new STD.
Are you kidding me?
They call it a zombie STD. When the cicada gets it, the STD, it attacks their attacks their genitals, all right? The males, their gonads fall off, all right? Just the testicles fall off. And when the testicles fall off, the spores spread everywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
So the cicadas can still have sex and pass on the STD to other cicadas. And the females become carriers, and they pass it on. Dude. And then they become like some zombie type cicada. And then if the birds eat these, the birds get hallucinations. If the birds eat the cicadas, they're infected with it. So imagine getting an STD where your gonads fall off.
You are freaking me out. Listen, I can't stand it because there's enough fear out there, okay? they will send out an email blast that will just try and strike.
Listen, I'll tell you what, though. If this becomes a pandemic, I bet you this would be the one everyone stays home. They're like, no, we're staying home for this one.
He's looking out their windows.
They'll be wearing 10 masks.
Where are they most popular? Where do they?
I don't know. I mean, they're talking about, you know, cicadas like Georgia and all this. I don't know.
Are you kidding?
But it's here in the U.S.
Are they in the South? Are they in
yeah.
the?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going anywhere. Yeah. I'm sitting here trying
listen,
to
listen. All we need is 2 weeks. 2 weeks stay home. It goes away, Joe. Bet you everyone will listen to this one.
Oh, that's scary. If you have seen any of them, let us know. 641-1010. Oh, man, I hate that. All right. Enjoy the rest of the day. We are done. We had to leave you with something a little shocking before Breaking Bones is off the air. Don't forget, you can log on bariorthopedics.com. You can find locations all over the city of Jacksonville. Geo, if they want to hear all of our show.
Apple, Google, Spotify, and 1010XL website.
And, of course, any shocking news like that. But hit us. If we missed a question today, we'll try and make sure we get to it next week. I will talk to you tomorrow, 2 to 4 on the Superstation. Joe C., Dr. George Barry, have a great Sunday.
You too.
You've been listening to Breaking Bones with Dr. George Barry and Joe C. on 1010XL.